This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Hey, good to be with you on this Saturday morning on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5. Good morning, Houston. My name is Will Doctor alongside the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Charlie, give me the news. What's going on, my friend?
You know, what an end to Sony last week. That was very good. I guess Hideki, after winning the Masters, now he's won 8 times on the PGA Tour. What a great story. And, you know, like I like what they said. It was his second trip to the green jacket ceremony because he won there as an amateur. But golf is good, getting off to a hot start. Everybody's under par. What do you think about all these scores?
At the Amex this week?
Well, and Sony.
And Kapalua.
I mean, nothing Kapalua, but birdies.
Kapalua broke a record. If it wasn't for the second round at the Sony, that record would have been broken. And Charlie, you bring up an excellent point. I was looking at the scores from the Amex, and I'm going to pick your mind today about those three courses, but they're all playing under par. You know, I looked in the previous years, and La Quinta usually plays a little easier. This week, they're all going low at all these tracks. So you're exactly right. And a lot to get into this week. You know, on the other side of the world, there's the Abu Dhabi, and then down in the Dominican. We had the Latin America Amateur Championship, where a winner will get an exemption to the Masters and the Open. A lot going on, Charlie.
A lot going on, and the cold has returned to Houston for a couple days. You know, we get a couple cold, 3 hot. How about that? The weather changes.
That's a nice little break. You know, like you said, I'm missing the golf course, but it's a good break here in the middle of January.
Yeah, we go to 100 cities across the Midwest and here, and everybody's experiencing, you know, winter. So we'll have a good spring.
It's frozen, but I'm really looking forward to getting into the Amex with you. You know, a tournament that Arnold Palmer won 5 times.
You know what was last victory on the PGA Tour?
Was it here?
It was the Bob Hope.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. What a legend. Rest in peace, Arnold. A couple other things going on. Tournament of Champions for the LPGA. Some greats playing. John Smoltz, Annika Sorenstam. It's a great little pro-am. We'll get into that here today on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Phone lines are open if you want in. 1-800-224-2004. A lot to do today, Charlie. We're going to discuss the Sony Open here in a second. We're going to get to what's going on in the world of amateur golf with the Latin America Amateur taking place down in the Dominican. You can catch that live on ESPN all week long. Then we'll move into the American Express where the PGA Tour stops this week on the West Coast. And then we'll give you some news regarding the Saudi-funded Premier League. Charlie, let's start with the Sony Open in Hawaii. It was one of those finishes that you don't see too often on a course like Wailea. Russell Henley, the leader heading into the final round, he shoots 5 under on the front 9. All he has to do is shoot even on the back. That's all he has to do. Is it that tough? You know, my question to you is, you know, as a PGA Tour player, regardless of the courses, when all you have to do is shoot even on the back, is that the mindset heading into there?
Sometimes that's the wrong thing to think about. And golf and sport is all about momentum. And he captured momentum, eagling the ninth hole. But Hideki was close. You know, he was there. But, you know, and what did he do? He birdied 10. He birdied 11. What did Henley do? He started off par bogey.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, those strokes disappear, and all of a sudden, Hideki, he's the player, you know, that is really
birdied 15,
and he's a major champion, and he's somebody to be contend with. And Henley, he was just lost, and that last shot in the playoff. I mean, he lost in the playoff. Yeah. That's the other thing, and that's golf. I mean, that's happened many a times to Palmer, to, you know, who you're going to talk about later. And so it was a great, great finish, great tournament. Congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama.
And a great nugget here for you, Charlie, regarding Hideki's win at the Sony. It was the first time in Hideki's career that he led in the strokes gained putting category at the end of a tournament. And we're talking about the Masters champion here. This is a part of the game that's held Hideki back substantially. It's very hard to put together strings of top tens when you're below average on the greens on a regular basis. Is putting weeks like Hideki had at the Sony going to lead to Hideki to contend in more majors?
Well, of course. I mean, he's been working hard on his putting and chipping. He hasn't changed his body. He hasn't been a gym freak. He hasn't done what Rory's done. Is now his body is you know, he looks like a bodybuilder.
Excellent point.
So Hideki, he doesn't, you know, he has a pace to him that's unique, you know, and they don't, he doesn't lift anything. He's got a great team around him, and the proof's in the pudding. I mean, he has worked his butt off to get where he is. And he's going to go farther.
And it was his eighth PGA Tour win, tying him with KJ Choi with the most PGA Tour wins by a player of Asian descent. And he's going to go a lot farther than that. Wailea proved to be an excellent venue. Seven of the top 10 players ranked outside of the top 140 in driving distance. It was good to see guys like Kevin Kisner and Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a golf course that's contained. It's got a lot of dog legs left, right. You got to shape the ball. You know, the rough was up, so you got to hit more fairways. And the little guy, you might say, had a chance. You know, so we need more of those courses, not the long monsters.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, before we dive into this week on the PGA Tour at the Amex, there's quite a bit going on outside of the world of professional golf. The Latin America Amateur Championship, where the winner receives an exemption into the Masters and Open, is being played down at Casa de Campo, Dominican Republic, a place very close to your heart. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about that?
Well, the golf course and the development, Casa de Campo, is unique. It's been around for a long time, and the owners back then, and it was a company from here in Houston, they got the architect.
Oof, what's his name?
The Players Championship. Tom.
Not Weisskopf. Not Dye.
I just went brain dead.
Okay.
We'll get it. But it's a lovely golf course. There's four golf courses there that are right on the Caribbean Ocean Sea, if you want it. It's ocean. And well designed, well used to the property, and it's a first class place and first class golf.
Yeah, it was. You know, I was watching the coverage yesterday, the event on ESPN2. It you know, we went through the holes before the show, but the immaculate views of the Caribbean Sea are really amazing.
Right, it's beautiful, and the weather this time of year is, you know, it's the weather's the same for the most part in Dominican Republic, because it's right there on the equator. So it's you know, beautiful grass. It's more like a zoysia grass. But the kids go down there, and it's a tournament that was started by Augusta. And when they say they're going to promote golf and they can use their tournament and their golf course, they've really grown it, just like the chip, pitch, and putt deal for the kids. And this is, you know, opens up an arena where anybody from Latin America can qualify. and they do it in Asia, and it's really proven to be very successful.
Absolutely, and as for the field of the event, Charlie and I were watching quite a few of these players just a few months ago at the Spirit International. Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira and Segundo Oliva Punto, the Argentinian duo that played for Arkansas, Charlie. The talent that Argentina is putting out in this game is simply amazing.
Well, the golf coaches in the United States have found the gold mine with kids that are well-educated and they have good golf. The Argentine Golf Association, and take all the associations through South America. They know how to put on tournaments. They have a series of events. They promote the game, and we've had a lot of good golfers come from that part of the world, and it's fun to watch.
And this is, like you said, only the seventh edition of the Latin America, America Championship. But we've already seen a winner of the Latin America AM breakthrough on tour, Joaquim Niemann, who won this event back in 2018. And the very next year, he wins the Greenbrier on the PGA Tour.
That's right. So it's like my good friend Dick Harmon, who I took to Argentina on several occasions to play in the Argentine Open. And I've, played in every country in South America. He says, Charlie, there's not a swing thought in South America, they just get up and hit it, and they got good footwork. And, of course, Cabrera won the two majors and Roberto de Vicenzo, and you can go on and on and on.
Really special, really special. How about a few good words from our people over at Insperity?
Insperity. We just had a hot 1,000 employees from Insperity at the Hilton in Houston, and it's their annual sales convention, and they're getting ready to go out into the business world and help whoever needs help with mainly HR, human resources, because the small business person is in business because they like what they do. They don't want to mess with the government. They just want to get out and run their business, and HR that Insperity can provide will grow that business. So it's so much success. Starting in 1986, Insperity has grown to 4,000 employees. And that tells you something, because there's how many small businesses in the United States that need help. So if you're a small business and you want to continue and you want to grow, log on to Insperity.com, talk to their experts. They will find a way to make sure that you grow your business and grow your bottom line. So if you want to improve your bottom line, take HR out of your responsibilities and let them do that, and you will really call me and thank me, because it's a great, great company.
And a quick leaderboard update before we go to break. Patrick Canley in the lead at 14 under, going 62-68. Tom Hoagie, the TCU Horned Frog, in second, 13 under. Will Zalatoris, T3, Lanto Griffin, former Houston Open winner, T3, after going 67-65, and Grayson Sigg also in a tie for third after going 65-67. When we come back, more on the Amex right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, 1-800-224-2004. Last segment, we discussed Hideki Matsuyama's 8th PGA Tour win, and we dove into the Latin America Amateur Championship. In case you missed that, you can find us anywhere you consume your podcast, 1-800-224-2004. Charlie, how about your good friend Jim Nance's schedule next week?
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Is that impressive?
He's going to do a golf broadcast from inside a football stadium?
That's correct, from the AFC Championship.
Well, thank God for one good thing that came out of COVID is that you can do a lot just sitting in front of the television. And I did a lot of broadcasts for Latin America sitting in a TV booth in Houston, Texas. But, yeah, Jim is making history.
He is. He
your
is.
Buddy.
That's exactly what your good friend Adam Shupak said, too. The only thing that came out of that only good thing that came out of COVID was these remote broadcasts.
That's right.
So we'll see where the side of that is today with all the football going on today. We're looking forward to it. And then also looking forward to seeing Jim and the rest of the CBS team back at Pebble Beach next week with Faldo, Baliones, Nobolo. Probably the best in the business right there. Behind you, Charlie.
Yeah, but he doesn't broadcast Pebble Beach.
The Farmers Insurance?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Is it?
It's at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
But Jim is – CBS doesn't take – I think it's NBC that
go ahead.
Has that broadcast. But I want to go back to our first segment, talk a couple more minutes about the beautiful Casa de Campo, and the course designer was the one and only Tom Fazio. And they've got four Fazio golf courses down there, starting with the Teeth of the Dog. What a great name for a great golf course. Then they have two inland golf courses, and then they have Die 4, which is a golf course built up on the highest point of the property that overlooks the Mediterranean. It's absolutely beautiful. The looks from all the tees, it's just panoramic. So anyways, Dive 4 designed by Tom Fazio. So we had to get that in.
Of course.
So, of course.
Beautiful.
We'll get back on schedule here, you know.
Of course. And for to see more of that golf course, it's, you know, the coverage is going to be on ESPN2 the rest of the weekend. We'll see who gets a trip to Augusta National and the Open at St. Andrews. A couple great venues on this year's major circuit. So looking forward to that. But, Charlie, let's move into this week's PGA Tour event, the American Express out in La Quinta, California. And let's start with the history of the event, because I think a lot of listeners would probably better recognize this event and its former name, of course, the Bob Hope Classic.
Well, Bing Crosby started the Bing Crosby tournament at Pebble Beach back in the 40s. It actually started down in San Diego, and then they moved up. And then Bing and Bob, who really promoted the game of golf, and a little note, Jackie Burke is Bing Crosby's son's godfather. So that relationship there, they came to Houston, grew champions, grew what it is, and the people from Hollywood really did a great job in promoting the game of golf. So that's, you know, and we keep growing.
And the Mickelson Foundation has done a nice job taking the reins of this event, Charlie.
Yes.
You know, after a couple of years, the Humana Challenge, Career Building Challenge, when they were partnered with the Clinton Foundation, then Workday sponsored it last year. I think it's great for the game of golf to have Phil Mickelson finally his name attached to a golf tournament.
Yeah, but he's last.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was. It's funny you said that. I'm sure he had his fair share of events going on
before
the event started. I don't know if great play is too far on his mind. He seemed like he was still smiling a lot out there.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, Palm Springs, for the people that have never visited there, is incredible in December, January, and February. It's like playing golf in a dome. The weather's perfect. All the golf courses are perfect. And that's one reason why you see so many great scores. They were built back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it's, you know, the golf courses are playable. The amateurs play in this event. But the conditions for playing are exceptional. And that's why you see these great numbers. But, you know, the first three tournaments of the year were 1,000 under par. What, you know,
It's really unbelievable, and half of it is how good the weather's been at each of these venues, and the other half is, yeah. Well, these guys are just really good, Charlie.
Yeah. The one thing though about the tournament this week in the desert, number one, Bob Hope, you know, all the presidents showed up to play in the pro-am. You know, all of the people that live up in the north migrate because of the winter down into Palm Springs. So the galleries are big. The celebrities are out, and it's just such a great environment. And a lot of the pros enjoy playing that. It used to be four amateurs and one pro, and they play 90 holes. Well, now it's reduced to 72 holes, and it's one amateur and one professional. So it plays faster, but it's not as glamorous. You know, before when you see the day where all the celebrities played from each golf course, you know, they did such a great job on television, you know, introducing the celebrities and the people, you know, Roger Clemens and, you know, everybody played.
Meatloaf.
Yeah, Meatloaf. You know, I
rest in peace.
I'd never heard that name.
No, I
love Meatloaf.
I had never heard of him either. I'm very into 70s and 80s music. I had never heard of him, but rest in peace to him. And he played in this event, which is why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, way back in the day. But I was going to ask you about that. You know, they do such a great job of showing off the celebrities at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Right. It seems like in the last few years, the AM side of this event has gone a little bit down. Is that – would you – I just haven't seen many celebrities out there.
Yeah, well, there's always about 20 to 25 celebrities, and they play on like on Saturday for television. Baseball players,
yeah.
Great coaches. Then they go up and play in the AT&T.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
And a lot. Well, and you know, a lot of them are a lot of the good baseball players, a lot of the good celebrities are actually down at the Tournament of Champions in Lake Nona right now,
yeah.
For the you know, the LPGA Tournament of Champions is now a program. Mark Mulder, John Smoltz,
yeah.
All those greats.
Yeah.
Staying at La Quinta, based off the first two rounds, after the first round, La Quinta looked like the most gettable course. I mean, K.H. Lee was a 64 at the Nicholas, but Cantlay's opening round was a 62 at La Quinta. Lee Hodges, former standout, was 62 at La Quinta. Yesterday, things kind of changed, Charlie. The numbers started to even out. Players started to go lower. Nicholas course was about three and a half shots under par. Stadium was four shots under par, and La Quinta was 2.5 shots under par. What's your favorite amongst these three, Charlie?
Well, the one they're going to play on Sunday is the tournament course. It was, you know, the one hole, the 16th hole is a par 5. It's named Alcatraz.
That's right. I love it.
You know, and it's a Fazio course again. It had all the buns, and, you know, it was very difficult. And if you get it, you play there with the wind, it really gets very hard. And, you know, that's the only downside. It sometimes in the desert they have the dust storms, and the wind can get very, very treacherous, you might say. But the stadium course is a unique golf course, totally manufactured. There was nothing natural. It's just, they moved a lot of sand, and the owners of the facility told Fazio, we want something that gets everybody's attention. And it did. I mean, there's a lot of holes that dogleg left, dogleg right, and anyways.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable as far as TV and seeing kind of it's in that dome. Really unbelievable sight. Arnold Palmer won this 5 times. Charlie,
yeah.
Do you remember when he won his last tour event here?
Yeah, that was it. He was the king. He was at 75, I believe, it was his last win there. But, you know, a quick note, and we lost another Masters champion. Bob Golby, at the age of 91, left us. What a great gentleman he was. He won the Masters in 68. He was a great commentator. Billy Harmon, you know, he told me so many different stories. He was the uncle to the Haas, Jay Haas and Jerry Haas. And Golby was, one of the old-time guys that came out of nothing. And his saying is, you know, if the people that win are the people that want to win. And he was a winner, and my hat's off to Bob Golby, passing on. But he left a legacy of good commentary, and he was right of Attila the Hun, but that's all right.
And also one of the forerunners of the Champions Tour, played a huge role in that.
Exactly right.
When we come back, more on the Amex, a little more news from the Saudi-backed tour. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity. A Charlie that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004. You have thoughts on the American Express or simply a question for the golf doctor regarding how you can shave shots off your weekend round. Come join us. 1-800-224-2004. Charlie, what are listeners learning from the golf doctor this week?
Well, you know, it's the start of golf season. You might say, you know, everybody in the north, northeast are snowed in, and they're going to watch television today, and they're going to see golf on television, and they're going to see the AT&T, and they're going to get motivated. You know, they have these new golf rugs that are really similar to a putting green. And if you can just start, you know, you go to your sports show, shop, order them off of online. You know, they're 10 to 12 to 14 feet long. They really will roll well, and you start putting, and you start learning your fundamentals, how you're going to your procedure, and how you're going to line up, how you're going to look at the club face, how long your stroke's going to be. So putting can become an indoor practice. Really, really easy with these new rugs that they sell. It's a $150 purchase, but I really recommend that for putting in January, February. Now you start going outside here in Houston, but even during the year, you can have these putting. I have one in my garage, and I have a lot of fun with it.
I just put one in my office.
You know, see, so you get bored, you're going to go work on your grip. Yeah. You know, how you put your hands on the club is so important for putting. It's completely different for chipping or pitching, full swing. The putting is a reverse overlap. We see a lot of different claws today. You can experiment and get the feel for putting a lot earlier and practice during the week and even in the summer at home. The more you practice, the more putts you're going to make. And we talked about Hatton. He gets bored, you know, about practice, and practice gets hard. Well, he's got a million reasons to practice a lot. Where can he get a job that he can go to work and play golf and receive a $1 million check? I'd practice, you know. There's not enough time in the day. But the average Joe, you know, you want to shoot 70, you want to shoot 75, you can take more shots off of your score by becoming the best putter in your neighborhood. And that's going to come from practice. I had a student that proved that, Uncle Cabrera. We practice. Remember that basketball player?
Iverson. You talk about practice?
Practice. What do you mean practice? Well, practice in golf and putting will show great results. Get the club face square, get a good feel going, and you can make it personal. It's your personal choice.
You get, hypothetical situations in your head when you're on that putting green. Great stuff. Great work there from the golf doctor. 1-800-224-2004. You need help with your game, give us a call. And the golf doctor will fix you up. Listen, it's not only your technique or fundamentals or your swing, but the golf doctor, who Jim Nance refers to as Dr. Epps, can get your mental game ready for the course as well. 1-800-224-2004. Charlie, Henrik Stenson is in a bit of a dilemma for his Ryder Cup captaincy. According to information Golf Monthly obtained by the Telegraph, the Swede will have to choose between proposed riches of the Saudi League or the Ryder Cup captaincy. And it has been reported that Stenson is one of the players who has had a $30 million approach to appear in the league. If Stenson accepts, the DP World Tour higher-ups will not allow him to captain a Ryder Cup team.
Well, I would think that Henrik Stenson has had a great career, and including the win of the British Open, and he's socked away a lot of money. So I don't think he needs a lot of money to give up the captain of the Ryder Cup. That to me is worth more than $30 million. Personally, I mean, I don't know how much the captain of the Ryder Cup makes afterwards, but if he stays on the PGA Tour, it'll be interesting to see. That's the one of the dilemmas that's being that competition is bringing to the game. We'll see who's going to play for history and who's going to play for the almighty dollar. You know, if you want to become part of the history of golf, winning majors, I think the PGA Tour is so inviting. I don't think you can give up that opportunity.
Hey, you know, so well said, Charlie. And I think first off, with this information, I think we can now assume that the DP World Tour will hold a certain amount of exclusive rights to any player who accepts money, which so it'll be interesting to see if they enforce the same regulations for the players as well as the captain.
Well, sure. I mean, it's opening up a can of worms. Maybe it's good for everybody. I'm not sure. Patrick Reed says this is good. Patrick might be one of the guys that jumps, and he wants that $50 million secure ticket. But I'd make sure the cash is in the bank before, you know, they give up their PGA Tour membership and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And, you know, Stenson, a five-time Ryder Cupper. I was shocked to hear this news. I think it's one thing to be innovative. Greg Norman, we say week after week, has done a ton for this game.
Yes.
A ton. World number one, you know, the World Golf Championships, which we enjoy 4 to 5 times a year. That was his idea. And the idea, you know, debatably stolen from him. We get it. But to not let, you know, a five-time Ryder Cupper enjoy the benefits of a long career to get the opportunity to enjoy being the captain, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah. See, if you're gonna, you know, give that ask Steve Stricker.
It'll be an interesting decision for him. You know, we had Hal Sutton on the show, and it was interesting to hear what his dad told him when he got the call to be the Ryder Cup captain. His dad said, you know, the players get credit for winning, and the captain gets the blame for losing. So don't do it. You know, a bit of a negative mindset, but it proves to be true sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes.
The captain, you know, does he ever get credit?
But sure he does. You know, he's going to get so much satisfaction. And I know Dave Marr, who was the captain of could be the best team ever, he had so much fun that week, and it lived with him for the rest of his life. And, you know, and you become friends with all the great ones. Jack Nicklaus, for example, we had a memorial service for Dave Marr at Memorial Park here in Houston when he passed away. And who showed up? Mr. and Mrs. Jack Nicklaus. You know, so it's history.
That's
it's
special.
History. It's friendships. It's, boy, oh, boy, you can't, you know.
You can't pass that up.
No.
Can't pass that up.
No.
You cannot pass that up. 1-800-224-2004. Charlie, let's discuss the action currently happening at the American Express. And, you know, Patrick Cantlay, of course, at the top of the leaderboard, he continues to putt well, has won 3 of his last 4 events. If he can make it 4 for 5, that's going to be simply incredible.
Yes, exactly. And Cantlay is over across the he's chasing the mighty dollar. Excuse me. For inner, you know,
it's his name on the list now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, but the I'm losing my track of my mind.
Amex, Cantlay, putting.
Cantlay is, but the new young kid that shot 61 yesterday.
Zalatoris.
We got to watch him this year. I mean, he almost won the Masters, so he's right there.
Yeah. Continue. What a story he was last year, getting his card after starting the season, Charlie, with absolutely no status. He came in 6th at the U.S. Open, came in 2nd at the Masters, like you said, racked up a bunch of top 10s, decent start to the fall, 2 top 20s, and 2 missed cuts. But it's interesting, the putting, once again, another player, the putting has really held him back. And he said yesterday, and he said throughout this week, he really hasn't been hitting the ball well, but he's gaining so much confidence with the putter out here this week.
You know, that's practice.
Absolutely. And another point to make, we have two TCU Horned Frogs top in the top five down the street from us, Tom Hoagie and Paul Barjon. Hoagie's had a pretty good career, and Paul Barjon just got his card, so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds this week.
That's as the whole year unfolds, you know, as we move towards Augusta. And any word, hear anything about Tiger this week?
Nothing on Tiger Woods this week, Charlie, you know, unfortunately.
If he's going to play.
You know, I think the walking of 72 holes is what's kind of taking him long. I think he's playing golf every day. I think he's playing 18 holes every day, but on a cart. And I think that's what's really the difference maker, unfortunately. A couple other new news as far as the world of golf is concerned. Padraig Harrington, Charlie, he said that Rory McIlroy is not winning golf tournaments because of the new talent on tour. What do you think about Padraig's comments?
Well, a lot
there?
More competition, that's for sure. Yeah. I mean, there is definitely, you know, hungry guy. How about the guy that's 6'10" and carries it 370?
I wish I could think of his name right now. He's going to miss the cut. James Duhart.
Yes.
James Duhart. He's 6'10", Charlie. Yeah. Hits his driver on average about 377. Really incredible. He's actually fifth in strokes gained off the tee after two rounds. He's six over. But
has Padraig said anything about why he's not winning?
Well, you know, yeah, great point. You know, and you know, Rory's going to go back to Augusta this year for the 11th time. Like I said last week, it's disappointing how the Netflix is not going to capture that process. Because I'm convinced we're not going to see Rory outside the winner's circle in the majors for too much longer. I think they're going to some excellent venues this year. They're going to Brookline, where there's a ton of history between Europe and the U.S. I think players from both sides are going to show up. I think the U.S. Open at Brookline is going to be the best major we've had in the last 10 years.
Well, Brookline is a golf course that you got to be really straight because there's a lot of dog legs. And you see who won there the last, Curtis Strange and Nick Faldo, battled. And they were not the longest on tour, but they were the straightest. They were great drivers of the golf ball. So I'm not sure that's going to be a golf course for Rory McIlroy with that shotgun driver that he's got.
Excellent point, though. Curtis Strange, also a great friend of the show, great friend of Charlie.
That's
Epps.
It. Yeah.
Correct. When we come back, Charlie's going to give you his pick of the week. Unfortunately, I have to go, a funeral to attend to, but great to be with you all this week. We'll see you next Saturday. Charlie's going to hang around here with you. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Who are you picking?
I got Patrick Cantlay. I had him before the week started at 9-1, so I'm going to keep going with that.
Ooh, are you betting?
I do. I have a weekly podcast for pregame.com through Fox Sports, and yeah, it comes out every Wednesday. It's on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Picks the place, head-to-heads, winners. Pretty good record. 6-1 to start the year in head-to-head. So go tune into that.
Okay, well, go tend to your business.
We'll be right back.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, everybody, we got a couple minutes left in the show before we sign off. And they're playing out in the desert. And Cantlay is really the odds-on favorite, it looks like, to win. But it's 36 holes on the weekend. You never know. But I want to know for next week, for how many people are betting on golf? How are you adapting to that, their type of betting? And they've got all sorts of ways to bet. You bet one against the other. But if you guys can call in to our number next week and tell us about your success with betting golf. We got football. Terry Bradshaw stopped me from betting. Because every time I'd bet against him with the Oilers, he'd win. You remember that? Did you ever bet?
I did for half a season, and I realized it was making me miserable, so I was done.
Have you bet golf?
No, it would be a sport I'm completely out on because I wouldn't understand. I understand the game. I wouldn't understand how and what. I would have to listen to Will's podcast.
Well, now that you're helping produce our show and all that, we're going to turn you into a golfer.
I will listen to Will's podcast to figure out the plays, and then I'll lock in on this to make sure he was right about it.
All right. But other than that, the other thing that I find very interesting is that the new league is going to pay Henrik Stenson, or offered him $30 million to jump from the PGA Tour to their Premier Golf League. Is this a good idea? Is the Premier Golf League going to be a thing of the future, or is it going to be one and done? That's going to be an interesting thing. Although I've heard they have $3 billion behind their business plan. So, things are going on in the world, and sometimes I don't understand them. I'm on the old side of the coin, you might say. But we enjoyed having you this week. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. We're live from Houston, Texas. And tune in to us next week and call me and tell me what you're saying about golf betting. Bye-bye.